Morning, Coleman. It sounds like you're a little bit in the matrix this morning. I don't know if you need to restart or what, but it's pretty choppy on that side. I think we were just kind of in the back channel talking about that. But yeah, hey guys, it's good to be with you, and I can't wait to fill you in on what we've been doing, what we've been up to. First of all, I just want to say thank you guys for everything. There's a huge, just a Hurley-Clinton effort going on in the background right now for communications, for logistics, for command and control, for fundraising. And that's because of all of you guys, man. I have been out in the hollers without a lot of connectivity. So first, I think I want to thank everybody for their patience with me. It is not because we're not doing anything. It's because we are getting after it. And there is just absolutely no connectivity out there, so to speak, except for at very certain locations. And even those are the bandwidth, you know, of people that are at those places using it to try to communicate the needs of what we're doing outside of there it blocks it up a little bit. So first of all, you know, that's my biggest thank you is to everybody on this side of it. There is a monumental effort on the ground out there. The amount of time people are giving to this effort is seismic, and I mean seismic. There are people coming in from Texas and Oklahoma and North Carolina and Michigan and Georgia and Tennessee. I mean, you talk about it. When you got guys from Alaska out there, people have moved heaven and earth and just put their lives on hold to come help the people of East Tennessee, North Carolina, parts of South Carolina, Georgia, and you know, even Florida now. So this effort is not possible without people like you. And I can't wait to, you know, answer your questions. And I want to do a lot of that because, you know, I can sit here and tell you everything that we're doing and still not answer the questions you have. So I want to make sure we have plenty of time for that today. But if you guys have anything to start off with, that's fine. And if not, I'll go ahead and kind of give you a progress of the events since I've hit the ground out there. And some real huge takeaways that I think are, you know, important for you guys to know.
Yeah, before we start getting into that, everybody hear me okay?
Make sure I got my it's still pretty choppy, my man.
Okay, I'm gonna hop down and try and fix this again.
I guess while Coleman's doing that, I'll go ahead and just kind of start and give you guys kind of a sequence of events. On Saturday, I left my house loaded for, you know, any possibility that could come at us. And, you know, glad I did. If you're coming up there, I would just, and we need you. You know, this is a call for anybody and everybody who can come spare some time on the ground, whether it's, you know, a day, a couple hours, you know, whatever it is. If you have the time and the resources, we can definitely put you to help. But we need people with initiative, and we need people that will take control of situations, make decisions, and you know, just the best people on earth. And I know that's who I'm talking to in the Bitcoin community anyway. That if you think you can't be a help on the ground, then you know, maybe you can't be. But if you think you can, then we can definitely use you up there. So I hit the ground in terms of, you know, rolling in on Sunday afternoon. It took me about 8 hours to get from Knoxville, Tennessee into the area. I was hauling a dual axle trailer with a Polaris and a back end full of supplies in my truck. You know, before I even got into town, we bought 5 generator sets. We had Starlink capabilities from, you know, my own Starlink. And then we got into theater and started hooking up with the Christian Rangers. And let me first tell you about who these guys are. The Christian Rangers are a bunch of Green Beret, and, you know, most of them are retired. These guys run operations like Robin Sage, which is the culmination exercise for Green Beret candidates going through the selection process and training. And they run these operations in North Carolina. So you can imagine this is the most potent, most effective, most experienced group you could possibly imagine to hook up with. So on Monday, I linked up with their comms guy and their sergeant major. We went out to an HLZ and we started operations that Sunday night. And then on Monday, we returned up there. And it just so happened to be that the first place we stopped at this LZ, this HLZ we had established, was a former Green Beret as well, who was not part of our group. And if you know anything about the Green Beret mission, their mission is force multiplication. It's not the government mission, which I will harp on, you know, extensively here in a little bit, but the government solution to most things is throw a bunch of, you know, bodies and money, mostly money, at things, which is terribly inefficient. These guys have got to be some of the most efficient people on earth. They think long-term like us. It's proof of work centered, and it's just an incredible place. So I was able to take two of those generator sets, put them in this Green Beret's hands. His name is Dan. He runs the HLZ Zombie, and he also runs Avery Airfield. So not only did we get him up and running with power, we also got him up and running with Starlink and Meshtastic at both of those points. This was our first node in the Meshtastic space. So we had established comms with two different airfields for resupply, communications out through Starlink. And when we talk about force multiplication, putting this man back on the map and able to affect other lives, you can imagine how many lives this man can affect by having both rotary wing or helicopters, for you guys that don't speak, and fixed wing, which are planes, and excuse the military speak, but that's just kind of the mode I'm in right now. This man has the ability to do airdrops, to do SAR, to do recovery efforts, you name it. This guy is able to reach out and be our force multiplier. So these are the type of people that we are looking for. He's also local. And what that means is we're able to stand up a node, like a point of contact that is going to be able to lift his own community out of this situation. And that's one thing you can't buy, right? This is something that, you know, most of the time when FEMA and things like that roll in, they don't do that. It's definitely not what happens when people roll in, what I'll call the disaster welfare whores that are out there. And I'm going to be using some language. I'm not going to try to, you know, pinpoint exactly who they are, because there's multiple groups of these people. But for us to be able to come in day one as Bitcoin veterans, especially, and, you know, do this force multiplication in unison with these Green Berets from the Christian Rangers, set the tone immediately. I was asked to be, you know, the sergeant major on day two going in, so I politely declined, and then kind of got, hey, we need you doing this kind of stuff. So my role transitioned in right with these guys. We got into step, and immediately we started rolling around with the command, making all sorts of connections in this area, figuring out who's who, going off of some intel from our first established node, Dan and LZ Zombie out there, and really making impact right away. And I kind of want to pause there to see if anybody has any questions so far.
I think it's just me on the stage. Can you hear me now, Shane? I got a thumbs up from Jacob. I missed the beginning part, so I wasn't entirely sure what you had covered. Would you say that there's a lot of groups like us out there right now, or is FEMA and other government agencies getting more involved? Like, what were you experiencing? Is Shane speaking? I can't hear him. Someone give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. Shane is out. Okay. I'm not sure if Shane had covered this already, but we'll go over the numbers. And sorry, guys, we're having some technical issues across the board today. I want everyone to just give themselves a pat on the back. We've raised over $110,000 now for Operation Gabriel. So we've got a lot of donations that trickled in through yesterday. So again, I want to give a huge thank you to everybody who's helping with that, who's donated, and who's retweeted that link. It means a lot. And so I know in the back channels, what they're really looking for is more bodies. We need more volunteers, just because, again, this isn't just done in the short term, and it's not done just because it's only been a week and Americans have an extremely short attention span. This is something that we're going to need a lot of people to help out with for the next 3 to 6 months. So cold weather gear, heaters, furnaces, things like that. And then also, I believe that we're trying to source different food for livestock. A lot of the crops were washed away and or spoiled with all this rain and water. So we're trying to source hay for a lot of the animals. So if you have any connections with farmers that are in the area, please reach out to us so we can start directing some efforts towards that. But again, huge thank you to everyone. $110,000 donated and generated. So it's just, it's amazing. Shane, you're back up here, sir.
Yeah, can you hear me this time?
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Apparently, they don't like us saying some of the words we're saying and are doing some funny things in the space. Yeah, I the $110,000 or $115,000 that you guys have raised is incredible. Let's talk to the efficiency and the potency of what's going on the ground right now in terms of that money. We obviously think long time horizon and low time preference in the space. And one of the things that I want to, you know, kind of juxtapose is the federal response with a new model that we're standing up and what I'm seeing. This this model, you would ask me, is there anybody else out there doing what we're doing, any groups like this? And I would say, I can't say for sure, but I can tell you who's operating in our area now and who's not. The welfare whores have gone home, the disaster welfare whores. There are different groups, and I'm not going to name them by name, but they're the people who chase disasters around and look for FEMA handouts. And we've got, you know, firsthand knowledge. We found one of the founders of a certain large organization that responds to disasters around, you know, the country. And what they do is they use this program that this guy wrote. And basically, it's basically a laundry list on a map of who needs help and how they need help. And what they do is they have to be federally licensed, basically federally licensed and approved by FEMA to come in here and claim projects on this map and then go out and get paid for doing restoration. So this model to me just screams abuse. It screams, you know, just misallocation of funds. And one of the things that does happen in this model is they have these people who can come in and they can claim jobs and never ever have to follow up and do those jobs. So what happens is you basically have a large group come in, they say, we want this one, this one, this one, and this one. They go out, they, you know, in a greedy sort of way, and they overpromise and under deliver. And sometimes those jobs never get done because these people who want to come in and help can't, first of all, they can't do the jobs because they're not federally licensed to do it. And then the other ones don't see enough money in it. So they leave it on their schedule to go do them, and instead of opening them up for other people to bid on them and go out there and do that. So that's the current model. I'm going to tell you how Bitcoin Veterans and Christian Rangers are changing that model. First and foremost, the FEMA, the welfare whores that are going out there and doing this, they're looking for rooms. They're looking for, you know, hotel rooms, Airbnbs, you know, all the luxury of everything else. And in fact, what that does is that takes up valuable space for people who are misplaced by the disaster. You know, and the juxtaposing part here from the Bitcoin Veterans and the Christian Rangers is we don't. We have guys that are literally sleeping in their trucks. There are, you know, makeshift bivouac sites, you know, little camps that we're putting together. We're providing security for those things. We're literally, you know, out there on our own accord with our own supplies, roughing it, you know, costing us no money whatsoever to be operational. So we're not sitting there hemorrhaging money on, you know, on a bed, on a room, on space that is extremely valuable for the people in that region that have been displaced. And I think that is a monster selling point for this model. The lack of resources that we, you know, I should say the few resources that we need to get by on in this model, you know, we're not there. We're not the main effort in terms of, you know, supporting us. The people are the main effort, and that flips the current model on its head. I think that is, you know, I think that is one of the biggest selling points in the way we're doing things. So, to add on to that, you know, with these guys in this area, most of the welfare queens now, because we are filling the gap and helping these people out, they have no way to make money. They have no way to come in and ask for FEMA funds when we are empowering the local population to get these jobs done with so few resources that it's literally going straight to the people, and it's not being squandered, it's not being wasted, it's not taking up other resources in the community that can actually help the people that need it the most. I'll pause.
No. I like that update, and I think it's important that we illustrate just how inefficient large government agencies are. And again, it works down to, in case you're not aware, or anyone listening, of how these contractors get these bids, is it's the lowest bidder out of a group, and then they just go through and they say they'll work at a fixed price, but there is no going back to verify everything is getting done or they're doing what they're doing. Again, there's just, from a government standpoint, I'm not supporting what they're doing by any means, but there's just too many people and there's not enough people to go out there and verify that these people are doing. So they work on a trust or a faith-based system. And if these companies get doxxed or they realize that they're not doing what they're supposed to on their government contracting bids, they get a black mark. And then that means that they can't do any work. So until they get caught stealing the funds, they're essentially allowed to continue to do it. So it can be extremely frustrating. And it's even more frustrating, I imagine, Shane, when you're trying to bring people down and get them shelter, and we've got to go find a different hotel because all these government bodies are just laying there. So again, I think it's really important that we illustrate just how inefficient large governments are just because they don't think like us.
Yeah. And I think this is one of those things where, you know, I'll hit it on it, on a brief that I'm going to do later on for everybody out there, you know, with slides and everything else, because I think this is just, you know, one of those pieces where now that we have basically worked these guys out of the picture, as soon as, you know, the hurricane was ready to hit Florida, those guys were bugging out because they knew, you know, the writing was on the wall. So in the future, you know, the future model should be, there are people from the special operations community that are active. There are people from that are inactive. And those are the guys that can get in on the ground as the first responders. You know, this idea that we need to be sending, you know, our best and brightest, especially within the special operations community, overseas to do things is absolute nonsense. This is the perfect case scenario in terms of an example to where, you know, in a scenario like this, you have already done the vetting. And I think this is maybe something worth talking about. Vetting on the ground is not the easiest thing to do with communications the way it is. And so we need trustworthy people. The Green Beret, MARSOC, you name it, those guys have already been vetted by our government, right? Like, and not only that, but they've been vetted by these outstanding communities, which go through not only the training, but they go through psychological evaluations. It's basically the smell test. Like, if a guy doesn't get into, you know, one of these units because, you know, psychologically he's not quite right for one of these units to go out and function, then he's gone. And so taking these guys and deploying them within the United States in plain clothes and, you know, helping their neighbor in this fashion, they're used to roughing it. They don't need all the perks and everything that, you know, the federal government provides for all these, you know, ridiculous, you know, welfare whores out there. This is something that I think, you know, going forward, we're going to start working on in terms of a proposal to, you know, city, county, you know, governments and hopefully all the way up the chain to federal, you know, while we're in this continuum transitioning and decentralizing the government. But this is the perfect case scenario where these guys go in, just like we do in other countries, they establish a foothold. They start making communications, they start putting up energy, they start identifying the key players in that region so that we can stand them up and then move out. I think this is the model going forward because it delivers the most potency. And I want to tell you guys, you know, when I say potency, we've spent, you know, maybe $10,000 out of the $115,000 that we've raised. And this is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. A lot of people want to have that money deployed extremely quickly, and that's not the case because we're looking at what, you know, I think what Coleman said earlier is a marathon. We're talking 3, 4, 5, 6 months all the way into spring in terms of operations, and we've got guys committed to being there, you know, that long. You know, they may take a break on the weekend or they may come home for a little bit of a week just to, you know, have a little bit of balance in their lives. But these guys, a lot of them are retired. And because of you, you know, they have, you know, the wherewithal, and because of Bitcoin, they have the time to go out and serve their fellow man. So as we go through this now, and we've started to identify the key players, as this continues, you know, one of my biggest things out there is setting up communications and helping people understand Freedom Tech. So Freedom Tech in this sense is whether it's, you know, it's Meshtastic, whether it's, you know, Bitcoin or even Starlink at this point, is helping people not only understand them, but implement them in these uses. So this coming week at one of the center points in for OPSEC security, I'm not going to get into specifics of where we're going to be, but I will tell you what we're going to be doing is setting up a meeting, which they have every Wednesday night, of a group of four different counties. And so we're going to take the leaders of these four different counties. And I'm not talking government. I am talking, you know, if the government wants to come, great, they're invited. But this is for the people. We're going to do a Bitcoin use case and training where we are going to get them set up with wallets in terms of a hot wallet so that they can accept Lightning payments, they can accept on-chain payments through Cash App. And then we're also going to get them set up with Zaprite so that they can link not only their Bitcoin, but also their fiat accounts and then begin to use those. And I suspect, and I've got to clear it with all of our team and everything, but that's where I think this Bitcoin, system is going to be best used. Because when you tell these people and you kind of, come in and you say, hey, we're Bitcoin veterans and we're all about Freedom Tech and, you talk about communications a little bit and then, transfer, kind of use the use case of Canada where they took over all of these accounts, in terms of GoFundMe and things like that, the government took those over, you explained very quickly that they can't do that with the system that we're going to help you guys set up and understand and implement here. So for us, when we go in and we teach these guys, Zaprite, we teach them Cash App and get them wallets. And I think we're probably going to need some hardware wallets donated to a lot of these people. Then we can start transferring funds directly to these people, and these people can vet who those people that they will transfer funds to. And this is another part of, making sure that the local population is leading this effort, because what we want to do is slowly turn all of this over to these people so that we're not involved at all, and now they're self-sufficient again.
Shane, probably the vast majority of people, when you were deploying those Meshtastic devices, those are the first time they had seen anything like it. Can you explain how easy it was for them to understand it and how quickly we're able to launch that to get communications?
Yeah, it's incredibly easy in a environment where you have a little bit of Wi-Fi. So, at our forward operating base or FOB or the airports or the HLZ landing zones where we do have, Starlink. And you guys forgive me a little bit. My brain is just, it's a pile of goo after this week with all the intel that we've taken in and disseminated. You have to download the Meshtastic app first and foremost. And then the little radios that we have literally two buttons. So you power up the Meshtastic radio. These things take, little to no energy whatsoever. Off of one charge, you can literally last a month. And what happens is, you run them through the training real quick. It takes 5 minutes before the end of it. They've got a text from one Meshtastic to another Meshtastic. They understand that Meshtastic is a repeater mesh network and a messaging network all in one. So you can pick out who you want to send these things through or send them to. So you can change your call sign. So like LZ Zombie or, the Avery Airfield or, Shane Hazel or whoever it is in terms of sending messages, you can send them directly to them. And if it's one of those messages where, if it is command and control situation or you just don't want other people to know your business, you can gen up a QR code in the app. It's, you just basically go into settings, you press the QR code, and now what you can do is send that to those other phones, and they have an encrypted mesh network so that nobody's reading your text, nobody's getting involved. There's no bad actors that are able to do this. And this is all through your phone, whether it's an Android or an iPhone. So the interface is very simple. It takes 5 minutes to set up, 5 minutes to train. And after that, somebody, with Meshtastic can now pass on Meshtastic radios to other people and train them. It's that simple. And when you see it and you understand it, then you go, all right, what can we do with this? And so what we did with it is we put it in the hands of people that needed it the most. So, and then people who can extend our range. And what I mean by that is, you know, it's great to have it on a mountaintop. It's great to have it with the search and rescue guys, but you've got to have, you know, hopping points from one to the other. And one of the best ways that I figured out how to do this was put it into aircraft. So we met with the National Guard when they were dropping off some generators. We got those guys trained on it, and then we got the entire airfield trained on it. So now, you know, it's not like they need these in their aircraft. They're doing us the favor of having them in the aircraft, having, you know, an elevated position where they're over all the, you know, what we're going to call haulers, the nooks and crannies of the Appalachians. And as long as you have line of sight with Meshtastic, you know, I've done comm shots for over 30 miles now. You're providing a way for the guys on the ground who are doing search and rescue, who are doing coordination command without any type of comms, to actually have comms up and running. And that, you know, that's a game changer in a situation like this, because we can sit there and give coordinates of where we are. We can then disseminate what those people need on the ground, and then do coordination between different sites that have the materials that those people need to start logistics of moving it there, and, you know, getting these people, you know, back up and running again.
So right now, what is the biggest things that they need in that area, other than the cold weather? I'd imagine the communication, the back channels, so we're starting to get that situated, we're able to make contact with all these communities. But outside of the cold weather, what are we specifically looking for now?
I think one of the big asks coming away from this week is, because the federal government's coming in and sucking up, you know, housing for a bunch of people who are displaced. We need housing. So, and this could be, this area is literally littered with Airbnbs. I mean, this is their busy season, and they're missing it. Oktoberfest is going on in places like Boone and Asheville. And you know, the entire area is just littered with roads. People love to ride because the leaves are changing. And then, you know, so the Airbnb situation up there, if there are people out there who would either donate their Airbnbs to displaced people, or there are people who would pay these Airbnbs to house people, that would be, you know, I think one of the most organic, easy asks that we could have in the area. The second thing is, you know, obviously, non-permanent housing. So what, you know, FEMA will do is they'll roll in a bunch of trailers to places that, you know, are basically camps. And that's not really what we need. We don't need camps like that. We need to have these people on their property getting stood back up. So if it's a tiny house, if it's a mobile trailer that's, you know, just a non-permanent structure for them to address, you know, the needs of their property and their land, those would all be fantastic, you know, pieces to get them up and running. The other thing is generators. They need energy. We need Starlink yesterday. If anybody has linked into Elon Musk, this would be our biggest ask. Getting Starlink in the hands of the people, especially the people who are the movers and shakers out here that can, you know, provide communications and do coordination, that are on the ground, that want to do this work. And there are plenty of just great souls that we've met, you know, the civilians in the area that have taken charge of these situations. Some of them who have flown across the country and are now running places like, you know, what I'd say resorts that are housing a bunch of the locals. We need to get, you know, Starlink in their hands. I would say Starlink is one of the number one priorities behind generation and heat, because without communication, you know, we're kind of flying blind at that point. So I think that, and then that area is very agricultural and livestock based. We need as many people from the veterinary perspective as possible on the ground, trying to help us out here. There are a bunch of animals that have gotten sick. There are a bunch of animals that need help. And what I think a lot of people don't understand is these people depend on those animals. A lot of them live specifically off of those animals in that area, whether it's chickens or cows, you name it. That is their livelihood, whether it's their independence or you know, whatever the case is. And I'm not saying it's everybody out there, but the ones that were down in the haulers that got, you know, landslides dropped on their land, maybe washed out their barns, their food supply. that is a giant need in that area right now. Is just feed for chickens, feed for livestock, hay for, you know, the horses and the cows, and really getting that part of it stood back up, because that is a giant part of their economy as well.
How much longer can they go with the livestock, with the supplies they have, if you had to guess?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that, you know, some of these ranchers and farmers have decided that it was better to cull some of their stock already. So, you know, time's already ticking and it's expired on some of them. And so obviously, you know, yesterday is always the answer in terms of needs. So whatever you can do in terms of moving shipments down there, we have a group set up within Bitcoin Veterans and the Christian Rangers that are absolutely, you know, directing traffic on where these need to be dropped. We have drop zones for them. We've been using Chinooks. We've been using flatbeds. We've been using tractor trailers to get hay and feed into these areas. And so we have locations to drop them. All you guys need to do is get in touch with us. If you can provide those things or you are willing to buy those things, we can make sure that the money goes into the right places. And then those items get, you know, consolidated at those drop points where the farmers and the locals can come pick them up.
Good to know. Well, we have your attention. I just want to give a quick thank you to our partners. Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms training at paladintowertactics.com. Punch plate, I see you guys in the audience. Good morning. Stamp your seed phrase on a metal punch plate at punchplate.com. I see we have Alex and Lisa, Wade and AC in the audience. Good morning, everybody. If you want to come up here and ask questions for Shane, please feel free to join up. I see Justin in the audience as well. Gabe, did you have any questions you want to ask?
First of all, I just want to just say thank you again to everybody who's been supporting this. Shane and everybody on the ground who's just out there. I mean, just showing up, man, in a way that could not have been done by anybody else. And I think that this is such a perfect example of the strength of a decentralized effort like this. Because when the need was there, the Leviathan could not function properly to come to the aid of the people that are literally paying for it to do that one thing. But a group of people that were prepared, that had the heart and the passion and the support from the community, that was ready to jump into action at a moment's notice, was able to go in there and transform this entire situation from one that was chaotic and confused, where people did not have communication and basic supplies and necessities to live, into a situation where people are now connected, they're communicating, coordinating efforts, and have been delivered the basic things that they need to start rebuilding. Yes, obviously there is, you know, it is not an ideal situation yet, and there are a lot of factors that are in flux. But the foundation has been laid to start building this recovery, and this is the perfect example of how citizens who care about their communities, that have built their own internal communities, are capable and able to do this. It's also an example of, you know, there's a situation in America when it comes to the perception of Bitcoin, and I don't think that a lot of Americans necessarily recognize the use case when it comes to Bitcoin. And this is an example of the use case and the utility of Bitcoin, and having the ability to immediately transfer value, having the ability to transact, remove all the mediators and the middlemen, and just be able to do what needs to be done, not only from the financial perspective, but also philosophically from the human perspective. So we broke down all those barriers and just got in there and just did what had to be done. And it's also just a great example of the importance of decentralization. It's like you were talking about earlier, Shane, with, you know, let's make this the model. Let's go ahead and take this and learn from it and grow from this and share this and be obviously open sourced about this and show everybody how it's done. And it's just an amazing example of taking these things and just and bringing it into life. Because I think that for a lot of people, a lot of Bitcoiners, maybe, you know, some of it's still kind of theoretical as far as application to the way that we live our lives and the actual impact that Bitcoin has on the world around us. And this is Bitcoin in action. Okay, because Bitcoin is more than money. It's more than code. It's about the people. It's a mindset. It's a philosophy, and it's a way of life. And we're seeing it take place right now. And I believe that we're really at ground zero for a huge shift in the perception of the power of Bitcoin and the power of the Bitcoin community. And we're just getting started. We're just getting started, and it is amazing. Shane, I wanted to ask you about volunteers a little bit more. What types of skills would be especially valuable right now when we're talking about people that want to volunteer and get involved on the ground up there? What type of skills or backgrounds would you say would be most needed right now?
I want to start with kind of like the lowest common denominator in this whole situation is just normal people who can care for other people. There's so much emotional trauma and just blunt force trauma, to be very blunt with you guys, is there's so much trauma in this region where people have just lost everything. And for example, we had a vet come out not long ago. He was in the parking lot. Myself and Randy were there. Randy was, you know, looking for a mission. Randy Kelly, our Navy SEAL, if you guys don't know, those cold-hearted killers, you know, Randy stepped right into the gap as soon as he showed up. This guy, you know, he broke down in front of a bunch of, you know, grown men. And he was just, you know, he could barely hold his composure because he found a group that he knew was going to take care of him. So, you know, to have just normal people come up in that type of situation and understand, you know, the trauma of it. We need people who can go out and visit with these people. Go do well checks. If you can care for another person, you can be of help. We can send you out to people that really need checking in on first and foremost. And it's not, you're not going to be in the way. You're not going to be clogging up the arteries. It's going to be, you know, one of those things where if you can care for another person and you want to go out there and sit with them, you know, be with them, you know, console them and just listen to them. You know, when people speak, there's something that happens. It's very cathartic. They can start to rationalize and understand where they're at, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and that's part of the healing process. So I would say a call to anybody that has an eager heart to help that doesn't know what they can do. If you can do anything, you can sit with another person and listen. And boy, I'll tell you what, that's extremely powerful in the recovery process. Get a little choked up here. And you know, if you're one of those people that like to pray with people, you know, that is a huge thing. I don't think people really understand how powerful prayer is. Prayer works at a quantum level that I don't think mankind has been engaged with for a long time. I think we've forgotten, you know, just how powerful prayer is. I can tell you from experience up there, if you can pray and you can pray for others and you can pray with people out loud, this is something that is raging and on fire in the Appalachians right now. There's just this heightened sense of vibration, this passion that is burning in hearts. And, you know, another example, we stopped by this one guy's, you know, shack on the side of the road that was built in the 1840s. The guy lived in abject poverty, and he had a sign out there with Christ on it that said, something to the effect of, art that wonderful. And, you know, to have lost damn near everything and to have, you know, avoided a landslide by mere inches. And to, you know, no power, no water, no nothing, living in, you know, in this, you know, this wooden cabin shack kind of place, to have that, you know, this is the vibration that's rising. So I'd say first and foremost, anybody and everybody that can do those things, which I think is most people, you're needed, especially the other skill sets that we desperately need out there. If you're in the medical field, if you can provide, you know, like nurses, doctors and EMTs, firefighters, you name it. If you're out there and you want to come up, we could definitely use your skill set. Veterans, you guys know what it is, man. You've had MOSs. You know how we function. You speak our language. We definitely need that. And you know, truck drivers are the lifeline of this country. If you're a truck driver and you've got, you know, a weekend off, you got a rig and you can pull in supplies, fantastic. Unfortunately, they've shut down a bunch of the airspace with the FAA. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, is unfortunate. If you're a JTAC and you guys know who I'm talking to and you're an air controller, we could definitely still use some of you guys out there, for deconfliction of airspace. If you understand technology and have, you know, lines in, to other people, you know, we could definitely use you out there, because having eyes on the ground and communicating into networks, like, so if you're a social media influencer, man, please use your network to drive funds and drive needs to these people. Like I said, this is not a short term fix. And I think that's probably one of the things people are worried about the most out there, is you have these situations where there are emergencies and the next big thing comes around and now the attention is off that. What we need to do, if you've got a media presence, is we need to keep this in the media on a daily, if not, you know, weekly basis, you know, to remind people that this is still going on. There are still gigantic needs. This is still an emergency situation on the ground. And I'm telling you, it is, you know, there are cops everywhere. There are firefighters everywhere. There is EMT. There are, you know, people that, you know, are pulling security. So and that's another side of this. We need people who can pull security and do it in the right way. Now, I will say this, what we don't need out there, because I think what we don't need out there is just as important as what we do need out there. If you're an airsoft commando that thinks you're coming out there to provide security, please stay home. Do not come out here dressed in military gear, with, you know, bulletproof vests and AR-15s dangling, you know, from everywhere. A lot of these people are good mountain people. They don't need, you know, a bunch of that type of security. They don't want it. They don't want that in terms of a presence in that area, because, you know, it kind of heightens the buzz in a bad way, right? It's not a good look. What we want is plainclothes individuals carrying around, mostly concealed. There are certain situations where, yeah, there is a force presence at depots and things like that that do have supplies that, you know, definitely need a force presence. But when you're dealing with the civilian population, please roll up in regular clothes and not the fatigues and not the, you know, the olive green and the blacked out or the camouflage or any of that kind of stuff. Just please come as a normal human being. That's what these people need the most. But do come prepared, you know, please bring a firearm, you know, have a concealed firearm. If you want to store your AR-15 in the truck, I highly suggest that, be prepared. But at the same time, you know, we don't need it for every situation. And most situations, I'd say you don't need it. It's that kind of area. I know that's a long answer, Gabe, but, we need personnel for months and months and months. So if this isn't something you can get to today, don't worry about it. We can use you next week. We can use the week after. We can use you next month. And as, you know, as the environment changes, you know, as the seasons change, we're going to, you know, need different things, and things are going to change a little bit. So come prepared for the elements, because we are basically living outdoors most of the time. And I would tell you, you know, just be prepared. You know, if you're not outside getting acclimated to the conditions now in whatever region you're at, then maybe start spending some time outside before you come out there, because you are at elevation. Elevation sickness can be a thing for some people if you're a lowlander, and, you know, we see it all the time. So just be prepared for things like that. Make sure you're drinking water. Make sure you're hydrating, you're getting your salts, and, you know, and maybe bring some Advil, because, you know, altitude sickness is a real thing, and headaches are one of the things that, you know, if you come out there as an asset and then you turn yourself into a liability because you're not acclimated and prepared for that altitude or the cold weather, you know, that's the last thing we need, is more liabilities.
Thank you for letting us know. Justin, I see Paige. Good morning, sir. Have a question.
Hey guys, thanks a bunch. Yeah, I just can't say enough good about you guys. And I'll tell you, I was watching everything on YouTube that was getting thrown up of people who were going over there, which range from the disaster tourists who are live streaming on, you know, sitting in traffic in Atlanta with, you know, a couple of boxes of water bottles thinking they're going to go change the world, I'm sure, with the best of intentions, all the way up to, you know, Shane and you guys who were on the ground, a team of specialists going in there and literally saving lives and putting that Meshtastic network up there. That, I mean, the picture with the Chinook was strong, man. So I was bookmarking all of those and had a little family reunion here, and entire family was sitting there watching those. And I think one of the strongest points too, Shane, was you sleeping in the back of the truck, man. So somebody said, why didn't you just get a hotel room? I said, because he wants to save money. So strong, strong, strong. And you guys have a friend in me, that's for sure. So I think my brother and I will be able to come over maybe in about a month. He's an airline pilot with type rating on heavies and heavily involved in a rural fire department and building really neat Meshtastic units with he's taking the solar panels, trickling into a battery and sticking them up on top of trees in his rural community, which is very hilly. So he's got a straight shot all the way to my parents about 20 miles away and can talk to them on that. So expect us to come over there, but I can't just applaud you guys enough for what you did, and taking the time also to document that for us was just pure gold. I hope you realize, I mean, I had notifications set up and the second those were coming out, I was just clearing everything to watch those. So I love and appreciate you guys. We saw the best of Bitcoin there. Bitcoin aside, what you guys did was just absolutely amazing. So thanks for taking the time to share it with us as well.
Well, thanks for the patience. Bandwidth is at a minimum, and burning the wick at all ends of the day out there to try to, you know, get in a situation where you can actually get a video produced and uploaded is not the easiest thing. So thanks for the patience on that.
No, and thank you, Justin, for the kind words. And it's important to remember that we are going to be having a lasting impact on these people. When we're in a situation like this and you have help coming to help you, get you back on your feet, those are things that you're never going to forget. So it's really imperative. And I know Shane was a good person to send there, because he's going to show what we're about, and he's not going to come in with a negative message, and he's not going to come in there and put a bad taste in these people's mouth. These people that are meeting us and that we're helping, they're going to remember this forever. They're going to remember the Canadian, specifically the Bitcoin veterans. And I can already kind of see it happening now that we're going to have these little pockets of Bitcoin veterans going out and doing stuff across the entire country. We're going to have little QRF forces in every major city, in every state. So when this happens, we're going to be the go-to guys. And so that we saw a little bit during Trucker Rally what Bitcoin can do. And I think we're really people up during this of what we can do. If you all haven't seen the post or listened to the podcast, we got a shout out from Matt O'Dell and Marty Bent on Rabbit Hole Recap. And they were, again, just impressed, as everybody is, with what Shane and everyone out there boots around is doing. So again, I just want to say thanks, Shane, and everybody who's out there right now, keep up the good work. We are up to the top of the hour, so I'd like to give the option or the opportunity for anybody in the audience, if you have questions that you want to ask Shane, feel free to request to ask him a question. I'm sure there's a lot of questions we haven't asked yet. But Shane, we're trying to get or field some more questions. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk on, or something that we might have missed discussing?
Yeah. Right before I came home, and I'll be returning Monday morning early up there to get back at it. So basically going to restock down here, go out and raid every Home Depot and Lowe's that I can for the right generators, and see what I can't do about, you know, getting those back up there with us. So one of the things that we did, the cadre up there with, you know, Bitcoin veterans and the Christian Rangers, we got to get into the command post. The mayor came over and met us from Burnsville. Wanted to really know what was driving us, what we were doing, and things like that. And, you know, one of the proof of works here that I think is something that, you know, we should be extremely proud about from both of these groups that are leading this effort is we've made such an impact with the local community now that we have mayors in these towns that, you know, would be accepting federal funds with the caveat of getting rid of groups like ours. And that just can't happen now, because if this guy goes out there and says, hey, you guys got to vacate, you can't be here in my town or you can't be here in our county anymore. You know, we've won over the local population and these guys are politicians. So if they get rid of the people who are down there making things work with, I mean, a fraction, and I mean that we are spending a fraction of the resources that the feds spend doing nothing and making a huge impact. They can't compete with that. And so it behooves the sheriff and the mayor to have turned down literally possibly even millions of dollars. When you're talking about guys that have deployed, you know, probably, you know, between our two groups, less than $100,000. I mean, we are, you know, we're spending our own resources most of the time. You know, we're not spending this on us. We're spending our resources to be there. So our time, we are missing out on opportunities for our own work and everything like that. So for us to be able to say, hey, man, we're not in this for, you know, the welfare. We don't want your federal funds. We don't want, you know, the government money. This is all coming from the outside. And to have the people's love and adoration and respect in that area to the point where they're telling their politicians, you better not get rid of these guys, because these guys are the ones that are actually coming in and helping us versus the, you know, the feds who are sitting on the sidelines that are ineffective, that are taking up all of our resources, including the extra rooms, the Airbnbs, the hotels, while not doing anything. You want to talk about a super powerful message that just smacks of what the power of, you know, the Bitcoin veterans and the Christian Rangers is. That there is nothing like this. There's nothing that's been done like this that I'm aware of that has had the potency and impact, and really from a community that is the most professional community that I've ever dealt with in my entire life. So hats off to anybody and everybody that we're working with out there, and to everybody that's helping us stay out there. Incredible, incredible effort.
So a quick question. Some people I know have utilized, I know, I shouldn't say it, but Facebook and the other crappy social media networks. The issue is that they don't allow videos to be posted off Twitter. They're having difficulty sharing the information that's out there, and there's a lot of really bad information on those networks. Could we get something uploaded onto YouTube so that we could share it more easily?
I'm going to leave that for the guys back here, because bandwidth for, you know, getting videos off of, you know, our platforms, it's easy enough to rip a video and get it onto other platforms. I'll leave that to the guys that are back here, but I'm sure we can.
Yeah, the answer is we can do it. Yeah, we can do it. What we'll do is we'll go through all the different videos that have been posted up in that thread with BV, and we'll get them ripped and we'll put them in a big Google share, and we'll get that out so everybody can grab those and cross post them across whatever mediums that they want. The issue that a lot of these platforms have is they don't want links leading off of their platform because of the whole attention economy, right? Like, they want your attention. They don't want you leaving. Like, if you're on Facebook, they don't want you going off of Facebook, right? So natively, they want you posting all of the videos. Like, if Wade posts a video as Wade and he's posting the actual video and not a link to a video, that's what they're looking for, right? So we'll share all that stuff. One other quick thing. I just want to say how proud I am of these guys, man. They have been out there from the beginning. You know, and as Shane said, like, they're not getting paid to do this. Like, they're taking their personal time to be out there. And what has happened is nothing short of amazing. Like, the comm links that have been established, like, this, you guys don't see this, but there is an Operation Gabriel OpsEn chat that has been set up that you have all these different elements of people coordinating with each other. You've got civilians, you've got veterans, you've got all these guys who have special operations experience up in the mountains, establishing LZs, doing all this really cool shit. And then on top of that, you've got active duty and National Guard representatives in that op center as well. And they're all coordinating with each other. It's fucking amazing to watch. So just want you guys to know, man, super freaking proud of you.
Yes, to echo what Alex just said, yeah, it's amazing. And it makes us, it's really easy to sell the Bitcoin message when we can just point people that aren't familiar with what we're doing or what our cause is directly to the links. It's right posted right there in the nest. I just point people that, hey, what we're doing over here. And again, it's 100% volunteer. No one's voluntold, no one's getting paid. So it's really inspiring. And again, I think see going to be something just going to be across the nation to have Bitcoin veterans that are just going to be deployed. And we're just going to be able to go tackle every situation. So this is, it's very inspiring. Gabe, did you have a question, sir?
Looks like
I think Gabe had to bounce. Shane, were you able to say something, sir?
Yeah, before we sign off, I just want to say, I absolutely love this community, and you guys have given us the education and now the resources to go out and start implementing. What we've always known is going to change the world, and now it's literally changing the world. This is going to be one of the first pockets, I think, that it is going to show the world how this works. And if we can do it in these crazy mountains of North Carolina that are so jacked up from destruction, this sets a precedent. This sets a new standard of how we should be living. We should be living prepared with generators and Starlinks and Meshtastic and food supplies and comms plans and networks for each other, so that when things like this come about, we know exactly how to handle it. And that's when I say, in this environment, this is one of the toughest environments to operate in. If you don't understand living in mountains at altitude, everything is a challenge. You're going up and down roads, sometimes, or maybe one lane if you're lucky, that are very treacherous. And so, there's all sorts of hazards in these places. And if we can do it there, we can do it anywhere. And this is different from being overseas in a combat zone, because we are loved in these places. These are our people, and this is who we should be taking care of. So for the Bitcoin community to welcome the Bitcoin veterans with such open arms over the past year, to empower us with your knowledge, to join us, whether you're in uniform or veteran or a civilian, it doesn't matter. You guys have you've literally changed the world and changed lives. And I would be remiss if I wasn't giving you guys all the credit in the world for changing my life to the point where I have the time to be able to go and dedicate this, to other people.
Lisa.
Just a big thank you to everybody. It is not taken for granted.
No, and Jane, again, I'm extremely proud of what you did over there. And I know we still have boots on the ground. I know Randy Kelly's still over there, Hunter's still out there, and for anyone else who's boots on the ground that I didn't mention, I'm sorry, but those were the only three that I could think of on the top of my head. But I'm extremely proud to be part of this group and see what you guys are doing. Lisa, I saw you join the panel. Did you have a question?
No. Hey, guys, thanks for everything. This is another great space, and thank you for leading the way for all of the rest of us to see the importance of, like you just said, Shane, having these supplies and communication networks, et cetera. I have learned a lot in the last several, I don't know, months from you all. And I think this is just really the beginning for, you know, the rest of us that are just blind by how easy our society is. We can really see how quickly things break down and begin to, you know, lay in supplies and really gain the knowledge that it takes to make it should or when the world falls apart. So anyway, but mostly just a thank you and, you know, prayers to everybody that's still out there and to all of you guys that are giving so many hours and days of your time and your love.
Thank you. So we're at the top of the hour. Did anyone have any other questions or anything that they'd like to hit on that we may have missed during the spaces? Okay. I want to thank you guys so much and girls for tuning into this. It really means a lot. Again, we couldn't do this without your help and your support and your encouragement. Again, thanks, Shane, for coming on here and sharing the details of everything going on. And for everyone that's still out there helping, keep going strong. If there's anything else that we can do, reach out to us. If you want to help out, if you want to volunteer, send us a message. We'll point you in the right group. Or if you have connections or contacts with medical supplies, medical teams, or ag feed, please reach out to us. That's what we're needing right now. But on that, I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping everything up. Tune in on Monday. We're doing this again at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and we'll cover everything going over the weekend, new updates with Operation Gabriel. The Bitcoin Veteran video podcast will be coming out on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So stay tuned for more details with that. Bitcoin's still chopping around 62K. So we're still in Choptober. I think this weekend will be pretty interesting though. I have a good feeling. I can feel something starting to get ready to bounce. So that's always fun when price action starts moving. But other than that, get on the mission, spread your Bitcoin seeds throughout the weekend. Make sure we're pointing people to our donation link up at the top and showing people what we're capable of doing in that thread. So on that, go out there and have a fantastic weekend. And go crush it.